Thanks so much, Mom. See you later, Victor. It's important to take that time. Take that time here in church and obviously in our own lives. There's a couple things that I wanted to talk about, but to dovetail into from the prayer time, in my humble opinion, you can go online and find out how to do just about anything. There are a million how-to videos on how to change water filters, how to grow grass, how to paint your house, how to fix your engine. And you can go online and find even more opinions and diatribes on all kinds of things like politics and religion and healthy living. This world is filled with people who feel like they know and they gotta tell you, says the man telling you. But it is important to remember that all of us are on our path. We all gotta find our way. And that way may not be the same for all of us, but in order to find that way, we gotta be willing to be led. You don't even know how many misconceptions or prejudices you even have. From the time you were born to this minute, you've been influenced by a million different things. Politically, socially, morally, religiously. And some of it is good, but some of it has got to go. The reason that I know some of it has got to go is that none of us are doing the things that Jesus said that we would do. So until that time happens, we still got more work to do, which means we got to dismantle our preconceived notions of what is and be ready to change. How can we do this? Well, I want to read a parable first. Those of you following along, it's Matthew 25. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, today, you can get married in Vegas if you want. You got drive-through wedding chapels. Quick and easy. But back in the day, weddings were like a big deal. You see how many parables and stories there are in the Bible about Jesus turning water into wine, and they'd have a party for days. I'm not talking about a wedding reception after the ceremony. I'm talking about party for days. And you'd have to hire a bunch of people and get food and wine and all that other stuff. So this parable, the 10 virgins, and they're lighting their lamps. Now, today, we take light for granted. And I think it was like 2 years ago, I don't know if you recall, there was a storm and the electricity went out in my neighborhood for about 4 hours. My children were ready to like start the purge. 4 hours of no electricity, like I saw genuine concern and panic on their face. Like, what are we going to do? And I was like, I don't know, we'll figure it out. What are we going to eat? I'm like, well, I don't know, we'll cook something. But then what are we going to do? It's like, I don't know, talk to each other, read? I don't know. Heaven forbid. But we take this idea of light is all over the place. You just flip the switch. But in the past, your day began when the sun came up and ended mostly when the sun went down. Now, you could find different ways to make light. In England, they would use what were called reed lanterns. And reeds are like long, hollow grass tubes. They're not hollow, but when you pick them, then they, as they kind of die, they're hollow. And so you take the reed, and if you light it, then it just like burns like any dry grass. But you would dip it in tallow, which is like rendered animal fat. and then that would kind of slow the flame down. And so you would, like, if you had to use a potty or something in the middle of the night, you would light one of the reed lamps from your fire, and you'd walk out there. You just got a little bit of light. And then in the Middle East, obviously, they don't have a bunch of reeds grown all over the place because it's very dry, and so they would use oil lanterns. And so you have a small amount. Imagine the Aladdin and the genie lamp, right? So it's kind of like looks like that, and you put the oil in it, and then the wicks on the top, right? But you got to constantly be able to refill it, also to burn out. So, parable of the 10 virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all of those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." Now, that can mean any number of things. That's the whole point of parables. But in my mind, the Bible says the Lord pours out his Spirit on the good and the unjust alike. He's calling all of us to follow him. But if you're not ready to listen when that inspiration comes, then you won't be able to get your chance to follow him. Now, what does that mean? Well, I think it means that there are so many things going on in the world today that distract us. And the Lord is calling us, telling us how we should live our lives better. If you're praying on a regular basis, if you're practicing what you preach on a regular basis, you're like the prudent virgins. You're ready with the oil. You have the oil, so when the spark of inspiration comes, you're ready to go. But if you're living your life thinking about all of the other things and not tending to business, when the inspiration comes, you're too busy to hear it. People always talk about how busy they are, and life is busy, but you make time for what you want to make time for. I watched this YouTube video short on an Arnold Schwarzenegger was talking about, like, when he was young, working out. And he was being a little condescending, but that's okay, because he's Arnold. He's allowed to get away with that. But he was talking about how people always make excuses for why they can't work out. "I got this, that, and the other." And he talks about what he used to do when he was training for Mr. Olympia. He was going to school, training to be an actor, doing all these other things. And the point was, if working out is a priority to you, you will make the time to do it. If it is not, then there's no amount of time that you'd be given there where you'd get it done. So daily prayer is not an insurmountable task. It's not a destination too far. It's not a bridge too far, Todd. It's just something that you got to tend to business. Or you don't have to tend to business, but then your life will continue to be like it is now. So I tell myself all of the time, well, I got two jobs in addition to trying to be a pastor. I got 2 kids I raised by myself. I got all of these things, and I could easily justify my inaction and let myself off the hook. And then continue to be the stressed out, miserable man I've been for my entire life. It's only when I take time to prioritize prayer first that the Lord is able to strike that inspiration so that when I do start to get upset, he reminds me, my oil is full. And he says, "Gabe, remember, we're trying to not be so upset." Thank you, Lord, you're right. But if I'm thinking of all of the different things, I'm thinking about how the Lakers are terrible, I'm thinking about my bills that I got, I'm thinking about all of these other things, and then when that thing comes up that was going to cause me anger, there is no oil for me to burn for illumination, and so I blow up. My kids get upset at me and resent me, and my life remains the same. I'm outside the wedding, banging on the door, Lord, please give me some peace and happiness, but I don't get it because I wasn't prepared for it. Millions and millions of people in the United States, billions on the earth. People in India live in wealth and poverty. And people in America live in wealth and poverty. And all of us have this idea that we should be happy, and yet so few of us are. So we turn to drugs and we turn to therapy and we turn to all of these things which can help. But the main priority, the main wellspring is the Spirit. And if that came first, then things would play out the way that they should. People take offense so quickly when you ask them to take responsibility for their actions. But it's not about good or bad. It's about actions and consequences. We have this whole disrupted idea of there are good things and there are bad things. But there are things that lead you closer to the Lord and things that take you away. You can call them good or bad, it's up to you. If I have a glass of wine with my dinner, is that a good thing or a bad thing? If I get drunk every day, they're both alcohol, but one thing is causing me to be drawn away from the Lord. And you've got to decide for yourself what those things are. But it's going to be really hard to find out what they are if you're not preparing yourself by praying and practicing what you preach. If I come up here every day, or every Sunday, and say, this is what you should do, and then I go home and fiddle away the hours, then I stay right where I am, right where I've always been, outside in the cold dark, begging to be let in. Fill your oil lamps. Fill your oil lamps. Be ready to think about how you should do things differently. We get set in our ways. I get up, I get the kids, I do the da 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 da. I get up, I make my coffee, da 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 da. We got to be willing to change. The prudent virgins. Got to have oil for our lamp. How do we have it? We have it by praying and then being on the alert. I think to myself constantly, no, not constantly, but I think to myself often about what it means to be a pastor. Because to, truth be told, sometimes I get nervous because when I think about like the life that my father lived, at least at this point, I'm like, I don't want to do that. Right? I'm giving up soda, Gaby. I kind of like soda. Right? Not watching the Lakers. So I think, like, am I supposed to be like a Buddhist monk, like up in the mountains, the Sherpas guiding my things as I just like, I think, like, I don't want to do that. I like playing video games. I like hanging out with my kids and friends. But whatever it is, I got to be willing. I got to start my day with prayer. And then I got to continue my day with prayer. And then I got to end my day with prayer. And somebody who is unwise or somebody who is unenlightened would say, dude, pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon, pray in the night. Who's got time for all of that? And then they spend an hour scrolling on their phone through Instagram. Or they spend an hour and a half watching a Dodger game. Who's got time to pray all day? Prioritize your life. If you want something more than what everybody else has got, then you got to behave differently than they do. I'm going to be like one of the five wise virgins, Mom. Have oil in my lamp. But it's easy to think, on the, you know, it's during the school year, I'm very busy. And during the summer, I'm much less busy. But I find that I get way more done in my own personal life during the year because I'm always in my modus operandi is hustle up. Then when I get the summer, kick off my shoes and relax my feet. And I find I get into this rhythm of just spending more time sitting. And you got to decide for yourself what is the correct amount. But I would argue, be ready to do more. If you feel like the Lord is telling you to do less, I don't want to tell you your business, but I would be surprised. If the Lord is saying, maybe less prayer is good, reflect. It's yours to gain. It's your standard of measure. If you get up and spend a very small amount of time on your own spiritual well-being, you should not be surprised that your life is not filled with peace and happiness. If, however, you spend a good deal amount of time praying and being open to the guidance of the Spirit, you will find that your lot improves. And instead of that prayer time being a burden that you have to get through, it becomes a boon. It becomes a time where you get to refresh, recharge. When I was a kid, I hated taking naps. I hated it. I don't know if you remember in kindergarten, they forced you to take a nap. And if you didn't take a nap, they'd spank you, at least when at my school, with a ping pong paddle. Miss Doty, there was a ping pong paddle on the green side. It had a smiley face. But on the red side, Steve, that was a sad face. And if I was sleeping on my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles towel, and then if I was fussing around, Mrs. Doty would be like, Gabriel, it's time for nap time. And I'd be like, Mrs. Doty, she always makes us sleep. Can't believe it. And then I'd mess around. And that's it. She'd take me outside and hold me by one hand like this. Paddle, paddle, paddle. And put me in there. And I hate naps. Got stuff to do. I could be playing with my cars. And now, as an older, wiser man, I love me a nap. Work through the, talk to all the kids, talk about all of the things. Then I go home, I take a power nap. 30 to 45 minutes, Todd. And instead of the nap being something that I hated, it's recharging my batteries, so I'm ready to go to Trader Joe's. When I was a kid and I thought about prayer time, we do prayer time in the morning for the salutes. And the kids can't last 30 seconds without talking. 30 seconds while some other kid prays that we all get A pluses on our tests and not get hurt on the playground. They can't do it even that long because their minds are convinced that prayer is this chore they have to do. And the devil loves for them to think that. So he equates all good things. He equates as tedium and work and all of the things that are bad for us, he associates with good, right? That's why kids hate eating vegetables, love eating ice cream. They hate doing homework and love playing video games. How could that be? Well, there's a plan for you, and that plan is misery and death. And so he who wants you in the ground says, eat more ice cream, spend more time on your phone. And then we think, why am I so out of shape and uncomfortable and miserable? You're doing the works. You reap what you sow by your standard of measure. Gabe, if you eat Carl's Jr. every day, guess what? You feel like garbage. So people live their lives shaking their fist at all the idiots that are driving on the freeway and then get home and wonder, why am I so unhappy? You're doing the works of the enemy. And they're so easy to do. I don't know about you, but when I really feel like I've gotten somebody, there's like a warmth that builds up. My righteous indignation when I think about how I've been wronged. And I'm like, oh my gosh, dude. How could they? Trusted you. Oh, and just like burns with this heat. Why on earth would I want that in my life? But for all of my life, I've been told justice must be meted out. This wrong will not go unpunished because we have this whole idea of what justice means and what we deserve. But let's go back to the man who we want us to show. And what does he say? He's talking to Nicodemus, and he's just told him about being born again. Do you mean like when I was in kindergarten and I went up here and prayed because all the other kids were praying to ask Jesus into my heart? Is that what you mean, Gabe? No, that's not what I mean. After he says to that, Nicodemus says, how can these things be? And Jesus answered to him and said, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. In the Old Testament, the Israelites are wandering through the Sinai Peninsula, and the serpents are biting everybody, and they're filled with sickness and disease. And so the Lord tells Moses, take a serpent and put it on a rod, and anybody who looks up to the serpent will be healed. God didn't come to judge the world, but to save it. You're filled with sickness and disease. You look up to the Lord, and he saves you. You speak of what you know. So if what you know is misery, then that's what you speak. You want to speak something else? Look to the Lord. We got to be born again every day. It's not a one-time deal. I was born again. I was baptized in everything that you can be baptized in. And then I lived my life like an idiot and was miserable for 30 years. I got to be willing to change. I got to be willing to grow. I got to be willing to be born again, start all over. But I thought I knew what I was doing, Lord. You didn't. You didn't. If you did, you wouldn't be this way. So you got to be willing to start again. You got to be willing to listen. Because all I know right now are earthly things. And the people who wrote most of this book, all they knew was earthly things. So if somebody kills somebody, what do they do on earth? They get justice. You broke the law, now you pay for your crime. That is an earthly device. So we think the Lord must deserve that same justice because we only think in earthly things. So when somebody does something incorrect to us, we think, he's wronged me, he deserves justice. But the Lord says in heavenly things, the person who's wronged you, not only do you forgive them, you love them. We got to rethink it. We got to reprogram ourselves. The person who cuts you off in traffic, not only should you not give them the middle finger, you should go, right ahead, sir. And you think, but Gabe, how could they cut in line? Wait, so they just cut in line and they get away with it, Gabe? Yes. Because as long as you continue to operate under the assumption that they deserve justice, then you're still thinking of earthly things. And that's what you know. And that's what you live. If you can live a life like the Lord, then you will be like the Lord. Everybody knows this. In India, they call it Buddhism and Hinduism. And they say karma. And we say, you idiots. It's not karma. It's the golden rule. But they all say the same thing. Treat others like you would have yourself be treated. But we think of earthly things, so we get all tangled up. And we spend all our time trying to get them to think like us, but we're all thinking the same thing anyways. We have to be ready to change and think of higher things. We have to be ready to change and think of higher things. We got to fill our oil lamp. We got to start with prayer. It's the only way. And then we got to be ready when the inspiration strikes, when the bridegroom comes, our oil has to be ready to light up and go. I listened to a comedian named Bill Burr. I don't know if you've heard of him. is very funny. And I watch YouTube videos of all nature. Some of them are like, you know, nature cat videos that Jude and I watch, or people slipping on ice that's funny, or whatever, you know. And as I watched Bill Burr, once again, not trying to tell you how to live your life, I noticed that a number of the things that he was talking about was, he's an older guy, and he talks about the woke generation, right? And so he, like, talks about how, and I'm not saying he's wrong about any of these things either, but he talks about, like, you know, how kind of absurd this new woke movement can be, and he makes light of it in a way that's funny, right? And then I watched this other podcast that that is good, but it talks about any number of things, including politics. There is nothing wrong with watching comedians or watching shows about politics. However, in my own experience, I have noticed that the more shows that I watch about politics, the more I think about politics. The more I watch shows where comedians joke about people that are different than me, the more I think to myself about those different people. You understand? My oil will not be full on that. Does that mean that I can never watch that? I don't know. That's up for you to decide. But I started to notice that the Lord was witnessing to me. If all you do is play video games, if all you do is watch shows that belittle other human beings, you speak of what you know. You're being filled up with it. And I think to myself, those idiots. And then I justify my behavior by being like, well, you know, they're kind of out of line, right? You ever notice when people justify, I don't know if it's you, but I do my justification voice. You just, you know, and we let ourselves off the hook. You got to decide for yourself how you fill up your oil lamp. But I'm telling you, if you continue to act like you always have, then you will continue to be like you always have been, which is okay. But if you want something more, then you got to be willing to fill up your lamp. If you always complain about your aches and pains, do something about it. If you always complain about the people on the road, do something about it. Don't run them off the road. I cannot complain about my students not doing their homework. I have to do something about it. And all of my actions need to be precluded by prayer so that I'm put in the mindset of being teachable from the Holy Spirit. If I go everywhere with my mind made up, then I'm not ready to move. I'm not ready to change. I'm stuck right here looking around at all of the people who should be told where they should go. I gotta be on the move. Constantly on the move. And in order to do that, I got to humble myself and be ready to accept. I got to accept from the Holy Spirit. I got to be ready to accept things that people around me say, especially if it challenges the things that I've always thought about myself. Nobody thinks they're the bad guy. The hardest thing is to be right and to still humble yourself. But that's where the truth is. The hardest thing is to be wronged and to still let it go. That's where the truth is. The hardest thing is to love your enemy. But that's where the truth is. The path is narrow. It's not numerically narrow, like there's only so many Christians. The path is narrow because it's hard. So we're all waiting for the bridegroom, and our oil's burning out. And then he comes. Do you have any oil? No, Gabe. Get your own. And then I think to myself, they're just so mean. Well, they never give me oil. And I stay right where I'm at. The guy who came and patted me on the tummy the other day, I could think to myself, how dare he? The sanctity of my belly. He's British, that's probably why. He's probably still upset about Yorktown, but hey man, freedom ain't free. I could think all of these things about him, about what he's doing, about how I'm right, about how he's wrong. Or I can think to myself, you know what, Gabe, you have been eating Taco Bell pretty frequently, which is fine, except I want to be healthy. So I got to be willing to look at myself instead of him, even though it's not cool to pat people on their belly. Even though I was wronged. The truth to living a happy life is when somebody can do that to you, you can find growth in yourself and love for them. Because if you can do that, then all of the other things are irrelevant. This week, be mindful of what you're filling your lamp with. It may be that your lamp is more full than mine. And if it is, please come and talk to me because I need some help. But also be willing to think about the things that you can do differently. How can you be born again? Maybe it is something dramatic like dad's not eating sugar. I hope that's not it. But if it is, I got to be willing to let it go. The Lord has been talking to me about coffee, I feel like. There's a cup right there. I do it or I do not. Your lives remain the same. Mine is the one that's up for grabs. And I can say, no, that's probably not the Lord. And justify continuing to do the thing that I want to do. Or, like a wise man once said, I can take a look in the mirror. And I can tell that man to change. Because I'm the one who wants to get into the wedding. I can't take you in. I can't give you my oil. I don't have any. I'm one of the foolish virgins. I'm not the prudent one. But even if I did, I can't give you my oil because you're your own jar. But you can fill yourself up regardless of your circumstances. Do not let whataboutism rob you of the things that are yours. I was talking with a friend about politics. It wasn't on our hike, Amelia. It was another time. And I was saying, like, hey, man, I try not to, like, pay attention to all that stuff. And he was like, well, we need government. Like, what if nobody cared about politics? It'd be anarchy. And I just thought to myself, I wasn't condescending. Neither one of us are politicians, bro. So you spend your whole life working yourself up about how you're right and they're wrong and how you need to change things, but you're not changing things. You're just making yourself angry thinking about them. Humble yourself. Change yourself and then live in peace and watch as people come to you. I am not a man who's always lived in peace. I've noticed that some of my friends have more peace than I do. So I go to them. Do you understand? If I'm living with wisdom and health and vitality, people will come to me. If I'm not and I go to them, then they'll think, what is this guy talking about? You speak of what you know. If you know earthly things, you speak of earthly things. But if you know heavenly things, then that's what you speak. And you learn heavenly things through daily prayer and daily work. Do it. Find the time. Put it in your phone. Write it on a chalkboard. Oh, people still have chalkboards? Ash used to have whiteboards. Whiteboards for everything. And I think, she stresses too much. And then my bills come and go and I don't get any of my... You see what I'm saying? I notice what she does right and then I come and ask her for it. Spend your days in prayer. You can make time for the things that you want to. Make time. I'm telling you. I've been wrong. I have been so wrong. And it's the most liberating thing. I was wrong about prayer. I was wrong about the Lord. I was wrong about the church. I was just wrong, flat out wrong. But now I'm born again. Not in front of anybody, not for anybody. I'm going to be a better man. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it. And if I stumble and I fall and I get upset at my children, I'm going to be born again and be a better man. And when the bills go unpaid and I go down to the DMV and they charge me $1,500 and I think, Gabe, you idiot. I'm born again. A better man than I was. But how? How can a man be born again? How can somebody make time? They let themselves off the hook. Be born again. Past the cliches. Past the nonsense and the labels. Be born again for yourself because life is always new. It's new at 41. It was new at 16. It's new at 95. He's raised up, and we look at him and we move forward. So good. I'll close with this. I remember Dad saying, I don't know if you ever heard this, he'd be walking, and sometimes he felt like he was moving into the kingdom, and the world seemed different, and it sounded different, and it smelled different. To anybody watching him, he was still the same dude with long legs. I've gotten just brief tastes of that. The more that I pray, sometimes I'll just be going. And peace will settle on me. And I don't know if it was the same as him. But I think to myself in that moment, if I could give this to somebody and then told them, it's the pearl of great price. But then when you try and talk, because they got to fill their own oil lamps. It is good. It's good. Take a moment before you make your toast, or I don't know what your morning routine is. Take 10 minutes in the morning. Do that every day for a week and see how it goes. Then take 10 days in the morning, or 10 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the afternoon. Then 10 in the morning and 10 in the afternoon. You see what I'm saying? We build, we build, we build, we build, we build. There's no stopping us. As Emilio said, I can see for miles. When I'm in his presence, and when I'm not, everything just... There's a Chinese spy balloon, there's Colorado River, and I get all twisted. Him first. All right, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes, I'll end this in prayer. Lord, help us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this place. Thank you for these people. We are blessed. Help us to remember that. Help us this week, Lord. Remind us. Help us to think of plans and to strategize and find ways to make time for you, Lord. You know us. Prompt us. Lead us. to ways that will work, ways that will be consistent. And then help us to stay consistent. Fill us up with your light, Lord, so that when the time comes and inspiration moves, we can be ready. We want to follow you. Help us. Help us, Lord. Bind the enemy from us. Dismantle his traps. Make plain his plans. And move us in the right direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So sorry. We were talking, Daniel, about the we're about to talk about the Protestant Reformation in eighth grade. And the Bible says, "The works that I do, shall you do also." And so the Catholic Church wanted to prove that they're performing miracles. And so when they pray over the Eucharist, it turns into the actual body and blood of Christ. We want to be like him. And as we pray and remember him and prioritize him, we take communion now to symbolize that he's in us and that he's helping us. So I'll pray over the communion. This won't be shorter, and Mom will come play. Lord, thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your faithfulness. Help us to take this and remember you, Lord, today and tomorrow, every day, as we try and fill ourselves up with your light, with your oil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.